very briefly. I mean, this city, as you know, suffers from poltergeists, and everywhere you go, you'll get some other poltergeists. Very recently, they put a plaque on the side of St. Peter's Church there for all the civilians that lost their lives in the Second World War. Amongst, just as an aside, there's a statue of Cary Grant down on down in Millennium Square, which some people think shouldn't be there. But if you look on there, you'll see a family of five people belonging to the Leach family. Cary Grant was, of course, Archibald Leach, and his family had a direct hit in the war, and he was making the film Penny Serenade with Irene Dunne at the time, and you can see the sadness in his face. If you ever see that film, just think of that plaque and those people lost their lives. His auntie, his uncle, and three cousins. That's all I've got to say about that.
Right, I'm going to do a few minutes about some more modern history about Castle Park. This is the historic centre of Bristol. The site of Bristol Castle is over at the far side of the park, and at one of the main entrance points you can still see the ruins of the castle gates. But from medieval times, this was the shopping centre of Bristol, and this is a map from 1918, which shows that this was all tightly packed shops and streets. Between Wine Street and the front, there were three streets running parallel, and streets running all the way through this way. During the course of the war, this was entirely bombed, and I've got some pictures you can hand round here and have a look at of the damage caused by the Blitz. And by the end of the war, the entire site was ruined. The two churches are the only buildings left standing. What you see all around you are the old footings of the old buildings, and all around the park you'll see this is all the pre-existing buildings that stood before the Blitz that have been left there. After the war, the council compulsorily purchased all this land, plot by plot, until they had the whole lot, and then promised that this would remain land dedicated to the people of Bristol. It would not be given over to corporations, it would be dedicated to the people of Bristol. And plans were put afoot to decide what was going to be done with this land. In the intervening period, as you can see both from this map from 1950, where everything is marked down as ruins, to this map from 1970, where everything is marked down as car parks, nothing at all happened on the site. Except during the 60s, where the council sold that corner of the land to the Bank of England and Norwich Union for commercial buildings. 20,000 people signed a petition against it. People marched outside saying, "You promised this land to the people." The council responded, "Yes, we did, but in order to build on it, we need money. And to get that money, we need to sell some of the land." So that land was sold off, and further plans took place for the park to be developed. As you can see from this overhead shot from 1971, the only buildings remain the two corner commercial buildings. This is all car parks. The rest remains ruins. The council did raise £3 million, and the George Ferguson of the day, Hugh Casson, came up with some very grand plans for the park, but he blew the entire £3 million on this corner of the park. If you go to the far corner, you'll see some huge retaining walls. The entire budget was spent on that corner, with nothing left for the remainder of the park. Still nothing occurred, but this is an overhead shot from 1984, but in 1978 what was decided was that the remainder of the park would simply be grassed over. All the remaining footings were backfilled with earth, and the whole area was grassed over, and some basic paths were put through the sections. And that's how it remains for about a decade, until more commercial development was desired in the city. This time, the multi-storey car parks you see behind you, and beyond that, the Broadmead shopping centre. In order to cope with that development plans, the council felt that what they needed to do was turn most of Castle Park into a car park again. And as you can see, the heart of the park, from the front of the church there, right across all the way to the harbour front, was converted to car parking. Again, enormous public uproar. The council said this was necessary for the survival of Bristol, and it was also necessary if they were going to raise the funds necessary to develop the park for the people of Bristol. And about £1.5 million was raised by the rent for this land, and that money was spent primarily, as you can see, on two things. The first is this area of hard standing, which you can see, which the council leases out for markets and fairs, for commercial rents. And the second is the area called the arena, which is over there at the bottom, which, whilst made of grass, is reinforced, hard standing underneath, with good road access, and is rented out for commercial events, particularly in the summer. The only other developments that took place was the playground, which is in fact financed by the Evening Post newspaper, and not by the council at all. And that was the situation we reached to date. The council still has plans for developing the park to create more usage. But what does the future hold for Castle Park? Well, this is what the future holds for Castle Park. It's a mixed-use development opportunity. And you can see that this white line circles everything from the edge of the park there all the way up to this church building. Again, the council explains that if they are going to develop Castle Park, they need to raise the money from somewhere. And the only way they can raise that money is by selling off the parkland to corporate developers. The reason in particular why they say they need the money is because these two buildings are a disaster. They are ugly, they block access to the park, and they're entirely empty. But as they are now privately owned, the council can't do anything about it. So, in a deal with developers, they have persuaded developers that they will rebuild these buildings, but in return, they will receive a slice of the park for their own private commercial developments. What you see along the front here is now the only undeveloped stretch of harbourfront in Bristol. The entirety of the rest of the harbour has now been given over to private developments, and this remains the only undeveloped access. Negotiations are still going on, but as recently as this Thursday evening, the council confirmed again they were not prepared to promise that they would not build on the park. They said the park comes first, but if the maintenance of the park means that they have to build on it to pay for it, then that is what they will do.
When is a park a park?
When is the green space?
Okay, are you going to mention your victory? Briefly.
Well, go on. To the other side of the city.
No, go on, mention it.
Has anyone still got the... The plans are going... If anyone wants to have a closer look at the plans before you... the maps and plans. Then they can while the photographs of the ruins are going about. The application for this town green was narrowly refused. It was established that this piece of land satisfied every existing requirement of the law to be registered as a town green, except the inspector came up with two new reasons why it shouldn't be. And currently the applicants are considering whether they're going to judicially review that decision. The council had made noises that they were going to voluntarily register this land as town green, perhaps after they've built on some of it, but it was on Thursday night they said they weren't prepared to voluntarily register the land because they weren't prepared to promise not to build on the land. They felt that the people of Bristol couldn't be sold out like that because the people of Bristol may need the commercial funds generated by selling off their parks in the future, and therefore they couldn't promise not to build on the land. That's how it stands at the moment. So they're still arguing. At the moment, the current plan for development, when you leave the park, you'll see a diagonal path which runs through an avenue of cherry trees, which used to be the old Dolphin Streets. Currently, the developers are being promised up to that path in return for developing the buildings on the corner. Whether they take that or not, I don't know, because it gives them very little of the harbour frontage, which is, of course, where you get the best prices for your penthouse apartments. So whether the developers accept that or not, we don't know. But currently, it's anywhere between there up to the wall of that church that's to be developed.
I was just going to say that Dan's being a bit modest because he's not mentioning that there's been a rare occurrence which he actually won a town green planning application on a development site in Whitchurch.
Yeah.
So there is hope using this method, but it is a rare victory.
But that's a better method.
You have to explain all later.
Right, OK. There's various memorials in this park. There's, what is there? There's the trees to each beach at D-Day down there. We're going to pass the monument to the plaque to those that fought in the Spanish Civil War, and also the plaque to those who have lost their lives at work, which are both, when we go down here, are both on these walls here. Okay, so should we move down?